Hey,
hi, friends.
So, well, this is a different setup.
Yes, this is. We are in a different location in the same studio because we're having some upgrades that we're actually looking at now, but I guess we can't show you, but it's actually really cool. We'll show
it's
you.
It's crazy. Yes. There's people in here working on a new camera setup. So anyway, we just, our crew, they did a great job moving our set around and the camera. So here we are.
We were going to not do a show, and then we're like, we don't want to not do a show.
So now you can see half of our faces.
Oh, yes.
But we're just going to roll with it because that's life.
That is life. And we just roll with the punches. It's like, I feel the older I get, the more... I think more so the next, like the last year. It's like when there's a problem, the first thing I'm like, okay, so what are the solutions? You know, first I'd be like, let me dwell on this problem for a little bit, you know, and,
totally.
And talk about it that way. And no, all good. And so, but I missed you.
I missed you. How's it been? I was off Friday and Monday doing some fun things.
Yes, we're going to talk about that. And so on Friday, I left my Stanley Cup that Caroline gave me for my birthday or Christmas, I don't remember, the black one, and someone took it.
What?
I know, and I was going to send an email, but I don't know how to, like, I mean, I can't find it anywhere. It was
really
on my desk. Yes.
Well, that's how you send the email. Can anybody find the cup that Caroline gave me for my birthday?
But then there's a lot of people that don't.
I would send an email.
Okay.
Anthony does. Other people do.
Yeah.
I'd send an email asking.
Okay.
I would never want to take somebody's cup.
Well, then I went to other people's desks to see if the cup, like, you know, like.
Maybe somebody thought it was so-and-so,
right,
so put it on their
it
desk
that way,
kind of a
yes.
thing. I think it'll show up.
Yes, hopefully it will.
I mean, I've
so
had a couple
to me.
Random things that vanish from in here, like a heater, but that's fine.
Oh, I know. That happened to me as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. But I was going to tell you guys about where I've been the last couple days.
I mean, if you follow her on Instagram and just social media, if you don't, you should.
I try to keep up with posting when I'm gone, but I went to the U.S. Open with my family that was held in right outside of Pittsburgh in Oakmont at the iconic Oakmont Country Club. That's my fiance and my dad and my mom, my sister. It was so muddy. It was so rainy down there and so hot and humid. And then the mud just overtook the golf course. Everybody was like chomping through this mud. This isn't even the worst of it. We had mud on the back of our legs and the porta potty smelled, but this was Adam Scott. We were really cheering for him. He hung in there for a while, but JJ Spahn ended up winning. He shot even, which is crazy because normally in these tournaments, Rashi, you shoot way under par. Actually, he shot one under. But even could have won it too. So normally like 12, 13, 14, even 20 under would win a tournament. And so it was really crazy to see how tough the conditions were and to be there. That was my second US Open at Oakmont and my third US Open ever. A US Open is a major in golf. Uh-huh. So they're like going to, it's like you have kind of Super Bowls of golf, if you will. And so that would be like going to one of them.
Yeah.
Now I've gone to Ryder Cups, which is really maybe the Super Bowl of golf because the energy is more up there. It's kind of, I mean, there's energy at the US Open, but it's definitely serious and challenging, and the players were getting really frustrated because conditions were so tough. Multiple players threw their clubs. Rory McIlroy launched his driver on a tee box, broke it. Wyndham Clark kicked in lockers and launched his driver and broke it at one of like
the
fences. I know grown men doing this. It's all over the internet if you follow golf. Embarrassing. If one of the things that my dad said to me, and I think that this is actually a great lesson in life and not just for the golf course, is if it's hard for you, it's hard for everyone. So just hang in there. And that's so true. How many times have you maybe been reporting out in the rain or in the storm or whatever, and it's so challenging, but it's like it's hard for every single crew out there. Or if you're dealing with whatever, you know, at home or, you know, whatever, that's something that impacts a lot of people. So weather, or if you're out of electricity, literally everybody's electricity is out. It's hard for everyone. If you could just push through it and do your best, you know, or if you're playing in a sporting game or a tournament, whatever, that's such a good mindset to have. And how embarrassing for these people to throw their clubs and act like that.
I mean, just coming from a whole different perspective with like being a parent, because I'm dealing with the issue of just the kids having these like just outbursts and I'm trying to teach them the same thing, and I'm trying, because what happens is, I know this is like totally off subject, but
it relates.
Just speaks to me because I want to so badly just yell at them or just lose my cool, you know, and I can curse or do whatever, and I want to do that, but I'm having to keep even keel throughout, and other things are happening and I'm still, you know.
So your kids are a little young to be online, but imagine if your kid was watching and then saw that.
Right.
What kind of a lesson does that send
exactly.
for these grown superstars? We're talking Rory McIlroy and Wyndham Clark, both past champions of the U.S. Open, to throw and break your clubs. You literally can't. Also, as I just mentioned, the conditions were so tough. It was tough for everybody. So the fact that you're throwing your club doesn't make the course any more or less hard. And it's not going to make you play any better. It's like, control yourself. At the end of the day, you're a role model for so many people. It was really, really disappointing to see.
So do they get penalized for that?
Well, so that's the big talk right now, because Wyndham Clark actually went into, now these courses are very historic. A lot of history there. A lot of amazing champions have won there. And so then the locker room and the facilities become treasures, really, and just have all this historic meaning. You know, you have like Jack Nicklaus has won there and this and that and whatever. And so Wyndham goes in the locker room, and I should have showed pictures of this because it's been all over the internet, and punches in these really old historic lockers that you could tell were left there for a reason, because it's tradition and it's like all these great players have used these lockers in the locker room, kicked them in. So there's all this talk, is he going to be fine? My thing was, if football players in the NFL get fined for the most absurd things, we cover them here with the Texans. Like maybe an illegal hit that they deem illegal, but it's like, okay, dude was running full speed, like how's he just supposed to stop? Or remember the whole excessive celebration, they would get fined. So it's like, okay, I think we need to start fining the tour players. $100,000, you throw a club, $10,000.
Well, I think, and it's also, it goes back to the point of, you are a role model to a lot of people and a lot of kids. And so this behavior, you have to control, not for yourself or your image, but for other people.
Because also, they look, Rory has a daughter too, and she's going to be getting to the age where people are going to be on social media, and it's going to, they are going to have phones. Hey, did you see what your dad did? It's like, how embarrassing.
I know.
I mean, that's just not right. It's, and I know, trust me, I was so frustrated yesterday and playing golf, and I, you know, I had some anger, but also I'm not playing for all this money and status, but you know, I'm just playing for fun. So like, I get it that golf can be frustrating, but I know Ryan watches a lot of the MLB players and baseball. And so then that would be a whole conversation that you have to explain. Okay, why did that player act that way? That's not right.
Right. And now his thing is like, he, like the umpire, like when they throw a player out, they go like this. And so whenever he doesn't want something, he throws like,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, so apparently in baseball, if you don't know,
that's good.
Like, yeah, they throw you out like this if you're...
So now you're like, go clean your room, and he's like...
And I said, you better not do that to me. You better not. So anyways, he doesn't. But to another point is, there was a track and field, we talked about her, I think in California, a high school star who was stripped of her title because part of her celebration, I guess, was taking a fire extinguisher out, and she used a fire extinguisher to celebrate.
Why would you do that?
I don't know, but she was stripped of her title for that. So I'm like,
yeah, if you're gonna punish high schoolers for doing that, then we should be punishing PGA Tour players for throwing clubs and endangering people that are around them.
Yes.
Wyndham didn't know if somebody would have been standing right there. I mean, he just launched that club. Rory hit, and then the head of the driver flies off. That could hit somebody. It could hit a kid. It could hit a spectator.
Yes.
Also, just like at some point, and I think that everybody should take this mentality, it's just a sport, or it's just a job. Like at the end of the day, you're healthy enough to be playing against the best in the world. You're talented enough to have made the cut when a lot of people didn't make the cut. So it's like perspective, and maybe that would help them play better, honestly.
Yes, and I'm just playing devil's advocate, not saying I agree with this, I'm just saying that. But if someone were to say, well, they're just human and they're doing this, well, we hold you to a higher standard.
Once you become
a certain
who you are
level.
And have that name and the the people recognize you from all over the world, and you've won so many. What really gets me is that was past champions, and it's almost like winning a pageant, okay? So when you come back as a past champion, you're also held to higher standards.
Yes.
You've won here before. You've done this. You've accomplished this. You are now considered one of the greatest golfers in the world because you won a major. Just like if you, like, won Miss America. Like, you are held to a higher standard. We're on TV every day as news anchors. I would almost say we're kind of like held to this higher
standard.
Well,
we are. Every day we are held to a standard in terms of, we cannot, we do not, and we do not say our opinion on many things, where mm-hmm. we very well do have an opinion on stuff.
And we very much know when we are in public, people do watch us.
Right.
So when we do want to lash out, we don't.
Right.
Because we know that would be, we would suffer right. consequences for that.
Right, exactly.
And so, yeah, I do think that there needs to be something in place when it comes to certain things that these players are doing right. on the golf course, as in other sports mm-hmm. like the NFL where they get fined. Mm-hmm. So it was just crazy.
If you look at it, it's on both sides of the spectrum. It is so impactful when there's unsportsmanlike conduct
yes,
happening.
It is.
But it is also so impactful in a positive way when sportsmanlike conduct
I agree.
Does happen. So when you see the player helping the player from the other team, mm-hmm. or you see everybody respecting the flag or doing whatever, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Whatever flag or whatever you guys are doing in whatever country, it's just like the camaraderie and knowing mm-hmm. that we're all in this together. And that makes a huge impact.
Totally.
So
and Oakmont was built to bring the greatest players to their knees. Mm-hmm. Like, it was built to make grown men want to cry out there. And so the course did its job, right? The way they right. had it set up did its job, and they like succumbed to that right. pressure of how challenging it was.
Right.
And I'm just like, I really am not the biggest Rory McIlroy fan to begin with, unpopular opinion, and that just like really, really put me over the edge.
Well, I should have added the story about the Pope. And you know how my husband's a White Sox fan, and he wore the White Sox hat. Did you see that?
Oh, yes.
That's right. That was very impactful. There was
see?
A whole, yes, it was.
Wouldn't it be crazy if the White Sox now win the World Series?
I just got chills. I'm not even like a fan like that.
That's what, so in high school, I went to a Catholic high school. So whenever we were winning at basketball games, we'd be like, God's on our side. That would be the chant for the White Sox.
Yes. But they it's not called Comiskey Park. I don't know what it is.
I have no idea. I can't help you.
Guarantee Rate Field is what it's called, I think. Okay. And they showed the video of the Pope, like saying go White Sox or whatever. I just think that's so cool.
That
it makes
team
them
is
so
blessed. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
No, I love that.
So, that's so awesome. It's awesome. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, friends. So I told Caroline, I said, we got to talk about Mel Robbins because her latest podcast, well, one of the podcasts that I guess I haven't listened to, one of the recent ones, is there are 7 things that you can do to improve your tired life. And
oh.
it speaks so much to all of us, right? Because it's like, who couldn't have, like, doesn't want a good
oh,
night's
like
rest,
that.
Right? And so I won't say what all 7 of them are. One, because I didn't finish the podcast, but the second also because I want you to be able to hear about it as well. One of the things when you're feeling tired and just overrun, I mean, we all feel that way. There's so many things to do. And even when we're at work, we're thinking about other things. And, you know, there's only so much you can do. And so much you can tell yourself to be able to continue to just, you know, do what you got to do for the day. One of the big things was look into your phone and give yourself like 30 seconds and look through just all those people that matter and
aww.
Those good memories. I know I'm saying it like in a different way than she does. She does it better, more succinct, but that helps. And there's like research and studies that are done on what it does for you to look at those memories.
I
and it's
that.
Like this social support, because you know in your phone, like your memories, all those people
yeah.
in there, that's your social support. That's your network, right?
I love that.
And it doesn't take you much, and your phone's like right here. So it's something that you can do. The other thing is obviously going outside, but if you're not able to go outside, just taking
yeah.
deep breaths. Also being that 8-minute friend. And she explains how being an 8-minute friend is in the hustle and bustle of life. I know that we make like phone dates possibly with our friends
yeah.
just because life is so busy. But if you can just carve out 8 minutes for a friend when you need to, it can make the biggest impact. And I know the friends that I can call and know that they would give me 8 minutes of their time. And yes, she is definitely one of them. But
yes,
I will tell
for
you.
Sure. You're on my 8-minute friend list too.
Thanks, I made the list.
Yes.
One of my really good friends, she texted me that her husband and daughter got into an accident. And this was this weekend. And I was like in the middle of doing things, and I remembered this 8-minute
yeah.
friend thing. And I said, Rashi, I can go out and I can find her or find, because she's just, you know, and she's texting me, you don't have to come, don't worry, you don't need to.
She was literally in the accident?
She wasn't in the accident.
Oh.
She had met them there. She's like, I can't, you know, she said, you won't believe this, but in this area near your home, my husband and daughter got into an accident. And I'm like, oh my God, is everyone okay? She's like, yes. And I thought to myself, okay. And this was Saturday morning. And she went over there. And I thought to myself, like, okay, wait, maybe I could go find them, because I know the area, and just spend that 8 minutes or whatever I have, because I had to really pause everything, right? And it didn't take me long to just realize, like, why not, Rashi? Yeah. Like, of course. And she's like, don't come. It's okay. Don't come. And I left, and you know, I was like, Daniel, and he's like, oh yeah, go. And
holy crap.
And so I found her, and she saw me, and she just bawled and started crying and gave me a hug. And I gave her like this long hug. And her husband was like, thank you so much for coming. Thank you. You know, like something
that makes me want to cry. But
she was just so emotional about it, right? And you never know when you need a hug, when you need that friend. So my point of explaining this is, you know, sometimes you don't know when you need that outlet. And it's okay to ask for it. And it's awesome if you have friends that can kind of just even sense it. But it's also on the other end, if you can be that friend that can be there for them.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
I never thought. Yes, they're fine. Okay, they're totally fine.
Whew.
But it's just the, you know, it could have been worse, right? Like, it's just a scary situation.
Totally.
And her daughter being involved, and everything's fine. Everything is totally fine. It's just the fact that we hold in so much emotion a lot of times and think, no, I don't want to bother someone. Yeah. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And
it might come out at the wrong time.
Right, exactly. So it's so much better when you are feeling some kind of way to call the friend, call the family member, whoever it is that you can trust, that you can, that it's a non-judgmental thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can be that for somebody else, because that's, I feel like if everybody had someone like that, it would be such a happier place.
I know. And we all are just like, oh, I don't want to bother them.
Right.
I don't wanna,
and we're all going through stuff. Like, so it's just, you know, be kind to everybody, because you never know
that's
what they're going through.
Point.
So anyways, the 8 minute friend thing really stuck in, and not saying that it makes me a better friend or worse friend or whatever. It's just, if you can carve out that time, what is 8 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And it can be so impactful.
It's so nice to start thinking about your life in these small increments instead of thinking about a whole entire day or whatever. When you think 8 minutes, that's nothing. You know,
right.
You could do that. Even working out, if you have 20 minutes, start there.
Yes. And the same thing with the photos. Like, those are moments in time.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But those moments in time are what define your happiness.
Totally.
So go back and look at that, not because you want to live in the past, but just so that you can reaffirm that you have that stability and that network, and you're loved.
Amazing. Ugh, love that, Rashi. Thank you for sharing that.
We'll be right back.
This is crazy, because I've actually been to this amusement park.
Really? Okay.
And so it's in Cincinnati. It's called Kings Island. And the amusement park is telling everybody to not scream while riding roller coasters. And they have some big roller coasters because of the cicadas that are out and about. They're worried that they're going to fly right in your mouth. The park says that they are dealing with masses of these cicadas. The swarms are so dense that riders are being warned to keep their mouths closed, or else they will get a mouthful of these bugs. And I think these are the bugs that make that sound.
Yes.
That annoying sound. So they are large, broad,
brood. 14 inch.
14 inches is a lot. That's a big thing.
Is that a centimeter thing, maybe? No, I don't know. Okay, 14. Yeah,
anyway,
14 inches would be huge.
Okay, so they're probably centimeters.
Yeah.
We should make sure we fix that for the five. Yeah. Anyway, they emerge every 13 to 17 years, but they emerge in swarms, and they're dealing with them. So they're afraid that you could actually choke when on the roller coaster if you're screaming with your mouth open on these.
Do you scream in roller coasters?
Yeah.
I don't know what noise I'm making, but it's usually like a
No, I'm like, I'm always trying to do the no hands and screaming.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I don't know why, like, oh, especially, well, you're familiar with Tron.
Yes.
Okay, at Disney World.
Yeah.
I mean, I had tears coming out because it was so fast.
It is so fast. And you're sitting on it like a bike.
It's
like
crazy. I don't even know
it's
what was
wild.
Happening, but like tears were coming out. And
yeah.
I wasn't even screaming. I was like, ah.
It's crazy. No, and these roller coasters are big. I would have to seriously be consciously thinking to keep my mouth closed and not to scream the whole time. I'd be like,
Yes, yes, exactly. I mean, even those, the like the Tower of Terror, like going down it.
Yes.
How do you scream? Like your voice is already like,
Well, it was funny because I hadn't wrote it for a long time and I'm thinking like, oh, like I've been writing this since I was a kid, so I'm not even scared. And then it drops and I was freaking out. It's so dramatic. It's like, boom.
But it takes the breath out.
It
right?
does. Like, so how would you sit there?
I don't know. And then some of these ones that are in the dark, those are the creepiest to me.
Right? You don't know what's
I don't even know what's happening because I can't even see my hands or whatever. So it's just.
And the last thing you would want is a bug flying in your mouth. But now, even if we're not dealing with a cicada outbreak, now this story is going to be in my head the next time I go on an outdoor roller coaster and I'm going to be paranoid that I'm going to inhale a bug.
Well, I'm sure it's not that. You know, we actually inhale or we actually like eat. It's equivalent to like at least
60 or something bugs
a year
maybe
yes.
I don't know.
It's like, I mean, we're not talking about giant roaches or anything. We're talking about things like in our food,
like gnats and little things. I'm sure when you're sleeping, if you're sleeping like this, there's holes that the bug can crawl up, you know, and you never know, you're just asleep.
Some people, I think like in China, they eat crickets.
I've eaten a chocolate covered cricket before. And a regular
cricket.
You say
cricket. Like, I have eaten a chunk of cricket.
I have. I think
How was it?
I think I ate some type of bug. Was it in New Orleans? Whatever. I can't remember. I was somewhere and we did something and I ate a bug on purpose. It was served.
Did you like it?
It was just salty.
Well, I guess if you eat like calamari, you're eating like squid or you're eating, so it's like whatever.
I know. I just am like, as long as they say it's acceptable to eat, whatever. Right. I mean, I'm not gonna like eat a bug off the ground, but they served these crickets or something. It must not have been crickets. I don't know what it was, but I do.
It was
I
a bug.
One. Yeah, because Connor was so grossed out, and I was like, I'll eat it, and I ate it. I ate duck. No, wait, it wasn't goose. I ate goose in Europe, in London. That was kind of gross. I didn't really like that, but I ate it. I tried it.
I've had alligator. That's like the craziest thing.
Did you have some on your last trip to Florida? Nice.
Tastes like chicken.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's fine.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're vegan out there, we apologize.
And with that, thanks for watching, Caroline and Rashi. We hope you have a great week. Tune in again tomorrow. We'll be here for you.
Bye.